This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Maybe you're settled at home alone or with loved ones, covered in blankets, about to watch your favorite show. It's cozy, it's calm, and you're ready for a perfect night in. Therapy can feel a bit like that, a place for comfort, a time when you replenish your energy and take care of yourself. And hey, you can even do it without leaving that same cozy couch. This season is the perfect time to give therapy a try, right from the comfort of home. With BetterHelp, get matched with a tailored therapist based on your needs and preferences, entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man on the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Dana is back after the holidays. First, this is, I guess, a Florida people, more than just one Florida man. But a guy named Sam, who's 22 years old, went viral on the internet. He went to Reddit specifically to complain. He's actually the manager at a frozen yogurt stand in Florida, where he said multiple employees who were Gen Z, much younger, say 15, 16 years old, had marked bills fake that were not fake. $10, $5 bills, things that were older than, say, the late 90s. So they looked different than the bills of today, but were definitely real, actual currency. They even wrote things on them in black Sharpie, like fake, do not accept, fake, reject, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy is really upset. He's like, why do they not know that these are regular bills? I know this is a Florida story, but this probably happens other places too. Not a great look. Figure out what a bill looks like from pre-1999 before you reject it and write all over it, because people were trying to pay with actual money and had it confiscated, which probably made people go nuts. But then eventually the guy steps in and fixes it. That's one Florida story. Another one involves a gym teacher in Florida, in Scheffner. This guy was arrested after he shoved a student to the ground. The reason the gym teacher did it, and he shoved a 12-year-old, he said, was that he had a dodgeball thrown at him. Apparently the kid did it by mistake, or even if the guy did it on purpose, the 12-year-old child, it's a ball. You'll be fine as a teacher, and I can't believe this would be the first time this has ever happened. But the guy got mad, and in response to that, shoved the kid. That is child abuse, and you go to jail for that. Now, granted, pushing a kid down, if it's the only time you've ever done anything remotely bad as a gym teacher, it does feel like the kind of thing that maybe some leniency could be found in the court system itself. If you're the parents of the kid, I don't know if you feel that way, because he got shoved to the ground, could have gotten hurt, didn't. But all of this being over a thrown ball is one of the more hilarious and dumb things I've heard in the world. The teacher's name is John Steele. He lost his cool, and obviously probably shouldn't be a gym teacher if you can't be hit with stuff during gym class. That feels like a prerequisite of the situation. And then one last Florida guy story, this one out of Indian River County in Florida. First, a guy got arrested for being just a piece of crap. He got arrested on a domestic violence phone call in which it seemed that the woman actually was injured. So the guy's just a piece of crap. That part's not funny or amusing. It's just a reality. But as they're hauling this 42-year-old dude off to jail, they have to do a search of his body at some point to see if he's got anything he shouldn't have before he gets checked into the night, or hopefully a while, into prison. And apparently, and this is a quote, he had cigarettes hidden between his genitalia. I can't clean that up for radio. That's the way I got to say it. I don't know what that means, and I don't want to know what that means. I know what I think between could mean, but the fact that they were less specific about the other part makes me curious as to where it was going or what was being hidden. When asked why he took that, something that was not allowed in the jail, with him on his person the way he did, he said he wanted to smoke him when he got to jail because he wanted to, you know, think about what he'd done, which does not make it any more allowed. If you're trying to say that these are cigarettes I'm going to smoke to reflect on the decision making I've made in life, so that's why I hid them there, officer, it doesn't wind up being less illegal. This is still very illegal. He added another charge to the crimes against him. for trying to smuggle contraband into a facility. But that is something. And the fact that the cops said they just got a sense that something was off with this guy. I don't know if it was the way he was like walking, depending again on where things were hidden or the decision making beyond it. And the guy is uniquely a piece of crap for hitting a woman. But nonetheless, or at least accused of hitting a woman, I should say, although they found the woman with visible reasons to think that this was going on. But nonetheless, beyond that, too, is just the fact that you thought you were going to get away with this. Like, I don't know. I don't know why you thought this was something that they wouldn't be able to figure out at some point down the road. And luckily they did. And it just adds to the issues for this Florida man. And also, I do wonder about one thing, like when you hid this, the place that it was hidden. Because it sounds like the cops were there for a decent amount of time and you were being talked to and then arrested. So it had to be hidden before they showed up, which adds a whole bunch of layers of questions to this conversation that I don't want answers to. I don't want to know why somebody would just assume, hey, I'm probably going to jail later today. Might as well hide these things in this spot just in case, because I would like to have them if I am in prison later. A unique piece of crap there for a variety of reasons. Also thinks he's part of a mafia that doesn't exist. But I'll get to that some other day.
Our partners at Preborn, a great organization out there saving lives, saving babies, bringing women to faith. And that's what Preborn does. So, you know, a lot of pro-life advocacy, a lot of people think that the focus is only on just right at that moment. And it is important. You know, you want to meet women where they are and you want to counsel them and be like, this is your infant. Would you like to see an ultrasound? Would you like to hear the heartbeat? Because when that's done, the infant's chance at life doubles. Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women who are considering abortion. They have saved over 300,000 babies. Over 80,000 women have come to Christ, and every day they rescue 200 babies from abortion. They're leading the charge in this nation to turn the country around. They don't stop there. Here's the other thing that's amazing. Preborn clinics, they work with mothers who choose life, and they provide them with maternity care, baby clothes, diapers, car seats, counseling, so much more. And these services are provided free of charge. They partner with them up into the toddler years. That is huge. That's the thing that often goes unmentioned in the whole discussion about life and Preborn. And so many pro-life activists have been changing this, and Preborn's done such a great job. You can help them do it at preborn.com/Dana. $28 sponsors one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds. Any donation amount helps. And when you sponsor monthly, you get ultrasound pictures of the babies you're helping to save. All gifts are tax deductible. Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. Visit preborn.com/Dana and save a baby, a mother's life. That's preborn.com/Dana.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Injured? Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Dana back just after the holidays. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio, great ways to stay connected to her. The Daily Caller, did a deep dive into the biggest lies that Corinne Jean-Pierre told during her time as the White House press secretary. Lots and lots of fibs and incorrect information shared by this White House press secretary, even though she told the press that she would tell them the truth. That was the big thing that was going to change between her and people who had that role when Donald Trump was last in office. The terrible, horrible person that is Donald Trump, according to a whole lot of people on the left. Several lies are pretty interesting. Of course, saying that Joe Biden was the candidate and not going to drop out of the race is one of many that wound up being untrue. One of my favorite ones that was listed here was when a neurologist had visited the White House and Corinne Jean-Pierre tried to say with a straight face to the American press that it had nothing to do with any concerns about mental health for Biden or dementia claims or any of that stuff. It was just, normal. This is the kind of thing that happens all the time. It was pre-planned. We didn't even really need to do it. We just kind of did it. That was amazing. That was not true. But then the best one and the one that most people are citing as the most egregious lie, although, to be honest, she was told this so many times by the president, who would say it as well out loud, that she was just kind of echoing a message that she was somewhat convinced would actually wind up being true, however dumb that was to believe this. But she said several times that Biden would not pardon Hunter.
From a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
I just answered.
The president would not pardon or commute sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
Come on. Always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add.
Except it's a yes. Except that's what you want to add later on after this happened. That goes on. There's like a 2-minute video viral online right now. Resurfacing of all the times she said no to that one, but just one of several lies that was told by this White House press secretary, and not even done well. The real knock on Corinne Jean-Pierre, and I know people get mad if you call her a DEI hire, even though the Biden administration, for anyone they put in any position that was a minority or anything else, the Biden administration told us about it. They said, look at this person who's breaking this barrier. And one of the reasons we put them into this position, you can't ask for credit for doing something a certain way and then claim that's not the reason you did it. You can't say, no, she fully deserves the job, but also we gave her the job because of this, because that kind of shoots the first statement in the face. More than anything, what Corinne Jean-Pierre was really bad at, that even Jen Psaki was better at, was lying convincingly or lying in a way that made some amount of sense or dodging questions in a cyclical statement of word vomity stuff that at least you thought might have answered the question. It was too transparent too often when Corinne Jean-Pierre was lying or when Corinne Jean-Pierre was struggling to answer a question. And her favorite thing to say in most press conferences was, I've got nothing for you on that. I'll have to get back to you. You have to check with somebody else about that sort of thing, which really doesn't give you any sort of confidence that any of the information you're being given is, well, a valuable, important, or even accurate. That was a constant complaint as well of this White House press secretary, who stayed in the position far longer than people thought she should have stayed in that position. But the biggest reason why she was there was probably the other thing that we're not supposed to talk about, the DEI hire part, which also made her harder to fire, I imagine. If you want the political win for your side of the aisle, however weak or strong it is, of putting someone in a position that, you know, you're happy to be there for reasons other than their job performance, it's also hard to fire them when the job performance is not living up to whatever expectation you had. All right. There's something else I want to play. I kind of contemplated not playing this audio today, but I do want to rip it apart as just a tremendously dumb. And so for that reason, I guess we're going to play it. Joy Reid of the failing MSNBC, its ratings are in the tank, as most reporting is saying, and Elon Musk is at least jokingly contemplating buying it, which would be hilarious if that happened. I can't help but laugh when I say that. But Joy Reid is throwing out a new theory. First, people on the left were trying to get under Trump's skin by claiming that Elon Musk is really the president and that he's not, calling him President Musk and whatnot. So much so that Trump did respond to it in a statement over the holiday, saying out loud that Elon can't be the president because he wasn't born in this country. So maybe that ends part of that discussion, maybe not. Elon also tweeted out that anyone trying to bridge a gap between him and the president, or the president-elect, will fail, because that's the whole reason for that rhetoric, is just to try to create some sort of distance between the world's richest man and the owner of one of the most influential social media platforms in society, and the guy who will be the world's most powerful man, or at least if you're not Joe Biden, you wind up being powerful because you lead the United States of America. So there will be a lot of interesting intersection between those individuals. But Joy Reid wants to go a step further and accuse Trump and Elon of listening to somebody else, somebody who's definitely not a person that we would want in charge of our country. Here's her conspiracy theory.
An interesting development that may have changed the calculation a little bit today, that we found out that Trump, our would-be strongman, is in a sense answerable to a bigger strongman, not Vladimir Putin, Elon Musk, who also allegedly, at least according to reports, has lots of conversations with Putin. What does that do to the calculation on how Americans should deal with Trump?
Nothing. First, I want to answer the question myself. Nothing. She goes on to say that she thinks Elon Musk secretly is having, you know, conversations with Vladimir Putin that shapes what Elon Musk thinks about stuff, meaning Putin is pulling Elon strings and then Elon is pulling Trump strings. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. The biggest reason why it's dumb is no one who's even remotely familiar with Donald Trump, the person, thinks he can be manipulated by anyone. A case in point, and Joy Reid would be thrilled to talk about this, which makes me not all that thrilled to bring it up, but is the 2020 election. The biggest defense Trump was going to use in any courtroom anywhere in the world to why he did any of the things he did, if they were going to claim they were illegal, is that he believes the 2020 election was stolen. He still believes that right now. And even if people told him it wasn't, he didn't care because he thought that what he was seeing was different than what they're seeing. Now, I'm not trying to relitigate that discussion with you. I don't care to anymore. Trump's back in office in 2024. And if there's proof of certain things that we haven't seen before, I very much hope that Trump demonstrates that proof and releases that proof. But nonetheless, what I think is amazing, and Elon Musk is the same way, by the way, he feels like a fairly confident person. So it's amazing to think that anyone, Vladimir Putin or anyone else, could just willingly control these guys to the degree that they do, or just, you know, trick them into following their advice all the time. There is one caveat I'll say to this. I'm sure it's backing up Joy Reid's statement, or at least what she thinks is true. Trump has made jokes about wanting to buy Greenland, and apparently media in Russia, state media, said it was a great idea. They threw their support behind Trump owning Greenland, or the United States owning Greenland through a deal with Trump. Now, what's interesting about that, too, is that there would be another president at some point to come along that you would assume Putin would get along with way less than he gets along with Trump. And we would still own Greenland if we got to purchase it while Trump was in office. So it is interesting, for whatever reason, Russia would support that and believe that maybe they can make better deals with us than with anyone else as far as, you know, the resources that exist there. But it's just fascinating to me, because anything like that might back its way into being, well, this means that this is what Putin wants all along, even though a whole bunch of people would say it would benefit the United States for us to own Greenland or to own other places. Not that I think it's going to happen. Greenland is not for sale. But nonetheless, it's just amusing and sort of amazing to me that these kind of conversations happen and that people like Joy Reid can float insane conspiracy theories and not be called out for them. And then the minute that a conspiracy theory exists on the other side, can attack it as though it's the most insane thing they've ever heard, as if that actually makes sense. The whole, like, you know, you can't scream fire in a movie theater, even though you actually can. That's a misunderstanding of how that actually works. And she seems to be screaming it on the daily, but then also yelling at anyone else that she accuses of screaming a fire in a movie theater.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back. And we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Injured? Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. Let's do these rapid fire. The first one, very weird. First, it was just women in China that were doing this. Now women throughout the world are doing this. Apparently, they're going to social media and taking photos of themselves with fake baby bumps. The reason that they're doing this in China was to celebrate a anniversary of the No More One Child policy, and also to look good. For when they, in the future, both have a relationship and get pregnant, they want the fake version of the baby bump photo to be better than the real version because they're younger. This is something that other women now throughout the world are doing on social media. It's a viral trend. Terrifying boyfriends everywhere, I imagine, as far as the thing goes, if they even have a boyfriend at the time that they're taking the photo. Apparently, some do not. Another story out there that I thought was interesting, it's called the Christmas Gas Prank. Mostly it's women pulling this on men. They call their husband or whoever, and they say, hey, I was, you know, running out of gas, and I stopped by the gas station, and I got the Christmas gas because it was cheaper. And then the husband usually goes, what are you talking about? What's the Christmas gas? And the woman will say, the one with the green handle, which would be diesel. And then the woman usually says something to the effect of, and now the car's running weird and seems like it's about to stall. You know what's going on. If you believe them, they just ruined the vehicle. They just destroyed that engine. There's a lot of problems that you're going to have. The Christmas gas prank, making the internet laugh and your loved one terrified for a short amount of time, is something out there that I guess people are doing and then putting up the reaction on social media. Because you can be a jerk as long as you do it virally out of the people you care about to the amusement of total strangers. That's the world we live in now. But the Christmas gas prank is out there. It's real. Some find it humorous. I'm going to be honest. I find it a little funny, too. I'm glad that I wouldn't think of anyone in my life as dumb enough to actually do this, so I wouldn't be that afraid that it actually occurred. Another story that I love out there as far as a viral quick five moment. A guy who drives a Cybertruck decided to take it with his wife to go see his in-laws in rural West Virginia at a farm. When he got there, he found out that the farm had no way to charge the Cybertruck. There was some discussion about maybe some things that got done. The parents didn't exactly get it figured out. So the guy had to plug it into a regular outlet. And if you don't know, a Cybertruck will charge 1 to 2 miles of distance per hour when plugged into a regular plug. So it took 6 days to recharge the vehicle. The guy said it was an awful 6 days to spend with the in-laws because he was stuck there. Couldn't do anything. I imagine they had a bunch of vehicles on the farm they could have used to tow the Cybertruck to some sort of supercharger and get them out of there. But the in-laws obviously didn't want to do that. They also probably complained for days about the extension cord going outside of their house into a car outside. And who knows if it even was turning off like the lights on the Christmas tree. I kind of hope it was, because the amount of fighting I now picture being a thing that happens would just be all over the place. Fighting with the in-laws is never fun. The simmering tension of this one sounds Hallmark movie worthy to me. And then one last one as far as quick stories go. $32,000 per person was the amount of money spent for a recent bachelor party trip to the North Pole. Over 1,000 people were surveyed asking, like, what's a very expensive thing you did for someone? This was the number one answer. A very stupid use of $32,000 to me. They had thermal equipment to protect them from negative 31 degree weather. They got to experience a few different helicopter rides and polar guides and whatnot. But just think, $32K per person, if you spend that somewhere like Vegas, how much fun that's going to be and how uncomfortable you're not going to be having to deal with negative 32 degree weather. But that was another big story out there that went viral, and a lot of people made fun of it as just a total waste of time. Joe Manchin is on his way out. He's done with politics, or at least being someone in the Senate. He has long been a person that people would point to and say, well, he was a Democrat. He's actually been a Democrat for a long time before becoming an independent, and he's willing to say the thing out loud that most of his party is not willing to say. John Fetterman might be taking the baton from him. I'm not sure, but it seems that way sometimes. But Manchin did a sit down you know, over a beer discussion with CNN. I don't know why they had to do this in a bar. It's just stupid. But as they're talking, Manchin gave the strongest indictment yet of the Democratic Party that anyone who's been a part of it has ever given. And so I want to play part of that audio of just how bad things have gotten. Here we go.
I am not a Democrat in the form of what the Democratic Party has turned itself into, the national brand. Absolutely not. And they know that. They're all good people on both sides.
But what do you think is the reason for, you said you're not a Democrat. What caused you, Joe Manchin, to divorce himself from the
Democratic
Party?
Here's what I told them. I said, you ought to figure out how you lost somebody like me. I was born.
By the way, I could stop it right there. You also should figure out how you lost someone like Elon Musk, someone like Joe Rogan. There's a bunch of people that said they were long-term Democrats who just don't understand the party anymore and see themselves as still the same level of down-the-middle independent person who is more captured by the discussions on the right than by the discussions on the left as far as their beliefs and who they align with.
As a Democrat, because of my grandfather's love of FDR. I was a very strong Democrat because of my family's love of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I came through the whole iteration, and then I was a Democrat in West Virginia, and it has always been a 75-80% plurality of Democrat.
Not anymore.
But there was a split. I was never in the liberal side of it. I was never in the establishment side. So I always had to fight my way through.
I love the fact that you're this far into this discussion and the person doing the interview is still not sure he's gotten the right answer. Like, wait, but what is it that makes you not want to be a Democrat? And not the fact that you feel utterly unwelcome and that your entire life, what you've thought of a Democrat as being is not what it currently is. And on that cup. Give me one more. Give me the thing that we can play as the short clip.
Is it a shift on social brand, issues?
Yeah. The brand got so bad. Mm-hmm. The D brand has been so maligned from the standpoint of it's toxic. And the D brand.
The Democratic brand itself is toxic. You know what's really interesting about this as I dive a little deeper into the thought of all of that? You have a lot of rhetoric on both sides that people call extreme. They claim that this is extreme things that people say. And when you look at the stuff on the right that's extreme, it's almost often always tied to Trump. And a whole lot of it, stuff like I want to take back the Panama Canal, a lot of people know isn't actually going to happen. Or if it does happen, like honestly, I don't know that it would be all that bad for the United States if it did. Again, I doubt it would. But, you know, taking Greenland, another example of stuff recently out there, it would actually benefit us if we owned it and we bought it somehow. But I digress. That rhetoric is not usually what shapes the actual policy. And when you're actually trying to get extreme rhetoric to shape policy, for the most part, what conservatives are trying to do is limit the amount of money spent in D.C., in Washington, limit government itself, a long-running, very simplistic conservative stance that a whole lot of Americans agree with. They think that Washington is wasting our money, overspending, and causing things like inflation. Now, when you look at the left, yes, there's extreme rhetoric, but that also seems to work out as extreme policy decisions. Oftentimes, the craziest thing said by the conservative is not the thing that inevitably gets passed. The craziest thing said by the Democrat is the thing that they try to pass. And they try to shame people into believing that it's the only way to move forward. It's actually usually why I think rhetoric on the left is more emotionally charged than it is on the right. If you want to try to validate a wide open border to the entirety of our country, the Democrats have to tell the story of a mother with two kids who crosses the border because she can't afford to live and support her family somewhere else. And the Democrats choose to leave out the story of the people who are coming across the border and hurting people. And there's a lot of people who are doing that. That's left out. The emotional narrative is all that matters. The same holds true with abortion, for example, one that I use a lot to talk about some of the more extreme ways that stuff gets argued. The Democratic position on this is that women's health is at risk and women could die because they're not going to be given a certain, a treatment in scenarios where their life is in jeopardy. And you had an OBGYN in Texas go viral for saying that that was crap, saying that I work here. I work in this place. I've worked in this place for a long time. And I know the narrative that's emotional and not true and how often you see it in all these other places. But that's essentially the place we're in right now, where if the most extreme stuff on the right, you can simply smile and ignore it if you're someone that's not in agreement with that sort of thing, because you believe that the policies at the end of the day won't reflect it. or if you're someone that's extreme on the left and you are upset because the policies don't always reflect what you want to see done in the world, that's the big issue with some younger voters on the left, is they didn't think that they went far enough in the degree they want it to go. Then, yeah, the Democratic brand becomes toxic, and a lot of people who think they're in the middle, like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, now think that they're part of the, you know, Venn diagram or whatever it is that Kamala Harris would love to talk about in relationship to this, that fall on the Republican side and not the Democratic side. And actually, something else by Manchin that I thought was really interesting, and you've probably said this before or thought this before yourself if you've had a conversation like this with a loved one, some of the marquee Democrats in history would be conservatives by today's standard. People like Kennedy, Manchin mentions. Those are individuals that if you look at the policies, at the speeches, at the discussion points, so much of it is echoed by people on the conservative side of the aisle now, and that was a vastly popular Democrat. So what has changed there? It doesn't seem that if you look at the, you know, history of both parties, that what you see is extreme rhetoric getting more extreme on the right based on, you know, who falls into that bucket now compared to the left. The left feels like it's moving off into a corner, and the right feels like it's absorbing some of that middle sort of by happenstance, you know, because you just don't believe that the next policy decision by a Democrat involving your school is something that will be good for your kids. And you think whatever's happening on the right, at least it'll get government out of the way and you can decide for yourself what you want to do. So it's just very interesting to hear and see him say and, you know, crap all over Democrats one last time on the way out on CNN. Well, for some reason, being at a bar and having a beer. Again, Manchin looks more normal than most, not quite as uncomfortable as people like, you know, Pocahontas, as Trump would call her. But so many people out there that seem to need to do this, like human part while doing the political part, just tell me the political stuff. You don't need to pretend to have a beer or to pretend to be having fun while you're talking about this. I don't need that.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lights are going up, snow is falling down, there's a feeling of goodwill around town. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here. People throwing parties, ugly sweaters everywhere. Stockings hung up by the chimney with care. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.